welcome to a new episode of the Twins Hoop Podcast. We're recording this on July 8th at night. I'm your host, Adnan Nathani, and as always, I'm joined by my better half, my twin brother, Adele Nathani. Adele, welcome.
This is the most excited I've been to do a podcast with you.
I wonder why. Before we get started, I just want to remind all our fans to follow us on Twitter at Twins Hoop and our official IG page at Twins Hoop underscore official and Facebook at Twins Hoop. Please rate and subscribe us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Keep the feedback coming. Adele, feedback's important because one person said this was the best NBA podcast they've ever heard.
Gosh, I've never heard that before. That's amazing.
Great feedback for us, and we love to hear it. So, Adele, I've got a couple of things I really want to talk to you about.
Just a few?
A couple of things. It was Friday night. It was about 1:57 in the morning. And I called you. Do you remember getting a missed call from me?
I have started to keep my phone on silent, so I did not
see
your missed call until the next day.
That's still good. I'm sure your wife appreciates that. But on this day, it was important that you picked up. But in fact, I don't blame you. All of my friends were sleeping. I was up till 3 a.m. Do you know what I was doing, Adele?
You were freaking out.
I was freaking out. And I want you to tell the listeners how you came to – I'm just going to say it. How did you come to find out that Kawhi Leonard signed with the Clippers?
And all right, so
– Paul George got traded to the Clippers.
So – I was getting my beauty sleep. Salima has asked me to keep my phone on silent strictly because Adnan calls me and texts me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning regularly.
True.
And when he wakes up for his baby. So
facts.
I wake up at around 10:30 to 300 text messages from different group chats and Adnan, along with a couple of missed calls from Adnan. And so I knew something big had happened, so I called him first.
Did you read what my last message said before you called me?
I didn't do anything. I just called you. I just didn't look at any notifications. I was just too worried about ruining the surprise, whatever it could be. Hmm. I had a feeling it was about Kawhi, so I call you and you say, FaceTime me right now. Don't look at your phone. FaceTime me right now. So I get on FaceTime and you proceed to tell me that not only does Kawhi Leonard sign with the Clippers, but Paul George, it gets traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Clippers for like 7 picks.
What was your reaction right when I told you about Paul George? I mean, Kawhi, like, I get it, but
I had
what
just
were your reaction
up. I was trying
Paul
to
George.
Figure out if it's like April 1st. Like, I couldn't, I thought you were playing a prank on me. I thought you were just messing around. Like, you were kind of, you had like this smile on you, like this fake smile because you were so hurt by this decision. And
I was being dramatic.
Very extra, as we like to do. And I just didn't believe it. I was shocked. I was floored. I could not believe this. Nobody saw this coming. After the fact, a couple of people are saying that they heard rumblings, but beforehand, there was no notification or impression that Paul George gave that he wanted to get out of Oklahoma City and he wanted to go play with his friend Kawhi Leonard. I was absolutely shocked. And it took me a couple of days to get over it. I can't believe the amount, the haul that Oklahoma City received, which we'll talk about.
So let's get into that right now. 4 future unprotected first-round picks, 1 protected first-round pick, and 2 pick swaps go to the Thunder, along with Delano Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So I think, you know, for them it was like Anthony Davis trade kind of set the bar on what a good trade is for a super-duper star. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think like, no one thought Paul George, it was 1 year to the day almost when he was given, you know, the key to the city basically by the mayor of Oklahoma City. And he, you know, requested a trade to the Clippers. And apparently him and Kawhi had been talking. Kawhi reached out to Paul George. They met up either before or after the Lakers were pitching him. So mob boss Kawhi Leonard really played the Lakers. And you know, he wanted a star. He had an opportunity to play with 2 All-NBA superstars, but he wanted to play with another star. He always wanted to go to the Clippers, it looks like. He never wanted to go to the Lakers because if he did, he would be there playing with exactly what he wanted, which was playing with stars. Instead, he went to the Clippers. He convinced Paul George to ask for a trade. The Thunder did not have to do this. They could have said, like, screw you. You're signed on for 3 more years. Have fun with Russell Westbrook. Or they could have said, you know what, we're trading you to the Knicks. Go away. Oh, right? They could have punished him. But instead, they obliged and created another super team in the West, which, by the way, makes no sense. The Thunder traded Harden to the Rockets. They lost, you know, they lost KD to the Warriors, and you know, they're traded George to the Clippers, and you know, they may even trade Westbrook somewhere west. But you know, I do think that this was just completely unheard of. I'm completely shocked. I don't know, man. I just can't believe this happened.
Yeah. So a couple of things that immediately came to mind. One is, on paper, when you look at it, the initial reaction was, how could they give up so much for Paul George? But really, they're getting Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and we need to keep that in mind. And I think for the Clippers, it made sense, because if they didn't get Kawhi and trade for George, they weren't getting anyone this offseason, and they had to move on the momentum. We know that Steve Ballmer was very interested in making a contender. He's interested in having another arena too, so that this may be a step for him to move forward into a new arena. But also, from the Thunder standpoint, really last year when Paul George signed, when he re-upped with the Thunder, all of us were kind of thinking that this is going to be a second round exit. You know, first, second round exit. What the Thunder are doing, it's kind of good for them, because they could have gone into the season with Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and again got out in the first, second round. Now they have a chance to retool. They can trade Russell Westbrook for assets. They've always done a great job. Sam Press has always done a great job in drafting, finding great players in the draft. And to have all of these picks coming from the Clippers that they've gotten from around the league, and to have their own picks, and they'll probably get some more on the Russell Westbrook trade whenever that happens. This is going to be a fun couple of years for Sam Presti while he gets to rebuild his team, because GMs love these kind of situations where you can trade for a bunch of assets and then start with a clean slate.
I don't know. I'm over the whole Sam Presti is a good GM thing. I mean, you got Paul George, which is great, but first of all, that haul looks terrible. Oladipo and Sabonis for Paul George, like, compared to what the Clippers had to give up, that's unreal. Makes the Pacers trade look ridiculous.
Oladipo wasn't the Pacers Oladipo until he got away from Russell Westbrook. And also,
no, I understand
that they didn't want to pay Harden, and analysts have talked about this, you know, way too much, I think, but the owner did not want to pay James Harden. They didn't want to go into the luxury tax. It made sense at the time. I don't think anybody knew that James Harden would become an MVP player.
Right.
So, okay. So for OKC, what are your thoughts? What do you think they do here?
They should trade Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. Like, if are you looking at it from like a business standpoint, then you keep him and you keep selling tickets, and you know, you wait till maybe you can make a run at another superstar with. Well, actually, there is an option. They could try to trade for a superstar, right? They could try to trade for a Karl Anthony Towns, or, you know, CJ McCollum, or someone that could become available in like a year. Devin Booker. None of those make sense with Westbrook except for Kat. But my point is, like, they have all these assets. They can keep Westbrook. You have a 31-year-old point guard who's got four more years on his contract, right?
But I think so they want to do right by him.
Yeah, so there's a couple things they're talking about. A couple of trade destinations. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, so I saw first I saw the Heat, and then I saw the Timberwolves. So for the Heat, obviously, him and Jimmy Butler would be the two stars. I think that they're one of the only ones in the league that can really absorb his contract. One of the few playoff teams that can absorb his contract while keeping Jimmy Butler. I don't know who they'd have to give up. Maybe Justice Winslow and whoever else, but Heat fans have to be excited about that. You're getting a triple-double guy, pair him with another intense person, Jimmy Butler. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're not excited yet. I think it's a long shot. I mean, I don't know. I think it's worth going after. You know, as many superstars on a team as possible is good. It's always good. They probably have to give us something like Winslow, and, you know, Whiteside was already traded, so that's a big contract gone. So something like Winslow, you know, maybe Waiters, Dragic, those type of players. No one wants Waiters' contract, so I would imagine Dragic isn't expiring. Winslow's a good player. Maybe their new kid, Harrow, he's lighting up summer league.
You think that they trade him?
If I'm the Thunder, I do not accept a trade without him. He looks like a good young player, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And then, you know, two unprotected picks. But Miami doesn't have a lot of picks. Two of the picks the Clippers sent were Miami picks, one unprotected and one protected.
Those picks were coveted around the league. Those picks have been around.
Right. It's been involved in three trades. Well, it started with the Dragic trade. You know, then it went to the Clippers. Then it went to the Sixers. And then the Sixers traded it to the Clippers in the Tobias Harris trade.
Yeah, and then the Clippers got another pick from the Heat and the Mo Harkless salary dump, which then the Clippers used to trade for Paul George.
Right, so they still have – the Clippers are actually in a good position, and we'll circle back to them. But back to Miami, I think it makes sense if you're Miami. I think one team that's probably hates this right now is the New York Knicks. You know, if this happened a week ago, this big trade, the Knicks – I think that Westbrook would be on the Knicks. They wouldn't have spent on Wayne Ellington. You know, maybe they would have spent on Julius Randle, but they wouldn't have spent on Wayne Ellington and, God, who else did they sign? They're all unmemorable. But, you know, they wouldn't have spent on those players. Instead, they could have traded for Westbrook and signed, you know, someone else, or maybe convinced the Jimmy Butler or someone who was available at the time to hop on over, right? Because they had so much cap space.
A lot of teams are in that mindset as well, because now the Knicks, if they wanted Westbrook, they can't do anything until December 15th. So a lot of the teams are probably feeling like that. The Pistons, it looks like they're interested as well. What do you think about the Pistons making a run at Russell Westbrook?
I mean, they'd have to get – they're not going to trade Blake Griffin because they need him. And, you know, Andre Drummond, they don't want to – the Thunder don't want him. They have Steven Adams.
Right.
You know, so it'd have to be like, what, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's like not good. So, you know, I think they'd have to bring a third team into it. And you know, they could definitely get it done if they brought a third team in.
And what about the Wolves?
Yeah. Before we get to the Wolves, just real quick, you know, the three-teamer, like, you know, Andre Drummond going to the Wizards, and, you know, that offloads some salary. Westbrook coming to the Thunder and – I'm sorry, coming to the Pistons, and the Thunder getting, like, a ton of picks from the Pistons and, you know, maybe an unprotected or two from the Wizards. That could be something
that's
interesting.
Why would the Wizards give up picks for – they're not even in playoff contention. Why would they give up picks for Andre Drummond? Andre Drummond's not a –
I'm just thinking of a team that needs a center, and I don't think they have. You know, they just traded Dwight Howard.
Yeah, can the Wizards even afford Andre Drummond's contract with Wall and Beal?
Yeah, that's the thing. They'd have to trade. They have to get off other contracts. They're in a shitty spot too. They don't even have a GM.
The Wizards. I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, forget I said that. you said right, the Wolves. Who would the Wolves have to give up?
I mean, do you ask for Wiggins back? Like, do you ask for – do the Thunder want Wiggins? Does he still have value?
I'm going to say something that's an unpopular opinion, but it's a good take. It's a really good take. I think Andrew Wiggins still has potential to be a very good player in the NBA. I mean, he's only 23, 24 years old. Yes, he's on a bad contract, but who else are you going to attract in Oklahoma City? And same goes for any small market. If I'm the Charlotte Hornets, I want to trade for Wiggins. If I'm the Pistons, I want to trade for Wiggins. I want to get Wiggins.
Yeah, but then I'm asking for first-round picks. You know, two or three unprotected first round picks. If I'm gonna take Wiggins and give you Westbrook, a triple double guy, and pair him with Cat.
Yeah, let's do it. Wiggins and two unprotected. You know, let's.
So
let's
I do want
it.
To say that I would that's do that. Very unpopular opinion, and I disagree. I don't think that Andrew Wiggins is worth the $27 million he's gonna make in 2019-2020, and the $33 million he's gonna make in 2022-23. Like
he's not worth it now, but what if you get him in a good system that can develop him? I mean, what if Greg Popovich got his hands on Andrew Wiggins? Look what he did for Kawhi Leonard, you know, can't shoot 3-and-D guy. Wiggins has the talent. He just needs a development. You know, he needs a chance. You know, some players don't really hit it until they're 28, 27. This guy's still young.
He's 24? Look, you mentioned the Spurs. You think the Spurs would be interested in Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, there's only one ball, and then you got DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Westbrook.
If you
that'd
put
be
Westbrook,
unreal.
DeRozan, and LaMarcus together, that's a good team. But I know that they're really happy right now with Lonnie Walker.
DeJounte
Murray. They got Lonnie Walker. Who else do they got? Derek White.
Yeah, those are the makings of a trade right there.
No, you're right about that. But I can't see the Spurs going for Westbrook.
So before we move on from Westbrook, I do have a final destination. Then I'm going to say to you, and you're probably going to say, you know what? I 100% agree. I'm a genius. Are you ready?
This better not be my own take.
They should trade. The Milwaukee Bucks should trade for Russell Westbrook.
Wow. Who would they give up?
Eric Bledsoe, Ersan Ilyasova, John Luer, and one or two unprotected first round picks.
Does that work?
It works. You check the trade machine? It's trade machine approved.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I just got to do it on August 19th for John Luer because he just got traded on June 19th, but it's just 2 months. It's not far. You could agree with it now before trading.
I like that.
Look, this trade works. You put Russell Westbrook and Giannis on the same team, you still keep Middleton and Lopez there. You know, you got enough shooters.
But then you have an unhappy 29-year-old Bledsoe who just signed a 4-year extension, right? So
what do you mean unhappy? He just signed a 4-year extension. You think he signed it because he wants to play in Milwaukee or because he wanted to get paid?
Well, I think play with Giannis.
No, I mean maybe, but look, who cares if he's unhappy? He's a point guard who's, you know, being paid what he's worth, maybe a little bit more. $17.5 million is pretty good.
Yeah, I would love to see Russell Westbrook on the Bucks. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I think they should do it. This is I feel the best about that out of any team we've talked about.
So my take where I think that he should go is the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic should make a run at Russell Westbrook. They've needed a point guard for like a decade now.
Who would they give up?
I think the Thunder would want Aaron Gordon back in any trade. He's probably the prize, him or Jonathan Isaac. I think you keep Gordon and trade Isaac or Bamba. I don't know if anybody wants Bamba.
Yeah, why not?
But to make salaries work, you'd have to, you know, if it's not Aaron Gordon, you have to convince the Thunder to take Mozgov or Fournier because they just signed Mozgov.
Yeah, but they also got Markel.
Or 2 years, $30 million.
They also got Markel Fultz at $11
million. Yeah, you convince the Thunder to take him on and throw some picks.
That's interesting. I don't hate that. I just think it doesn't do anything for the Magic. I don't think it, like, maybe no, it makes them an 8 seed,
it makes them like a 4-5 seed.
No, it doesn't. Who else is on that team? No
they
one.
They just re-signed Vucevic. They signed.
Okay, Vucevic. Adele, listen
Karen
to me.
Frost
every
was it 454
in the Eastern Conference? Like the top 5 teams all have multiple All Stars. I don't see the Magic doing that.
Vucevic and Russell Westbrook are 2 All Stars.
I can't think of more opposite players.
Well, yeah, one's a point guard, one's a center. Good job.
No, but like it doesn't make any sense. First of all,
listen, and anytime he comes to the Magic,
you fucking burns. Listen to me.
Okay. Anytime he comes to the
what
Magic,
what I mean by
man,
that
you,
is
you act
the,
up,
is
you're acting,
is the
you're
comparison
right now.
Because it's the fucking Magic.
Listen, man.
Look, the comparison is yes. The comparison is that one's a point guard who's a black hole, one's a center that's a black hole. And it doesn't make sense on the court, so they're opposites from that standpoint. They wouldn't be able to play as a cohesive unit.
Russell
I just don't
Westbrook
see it happening.
A triple-double for 2 years in a row. One of the components of the triple-double, I'll break this down to you since I'm a basketball fan. One
all right, moving on. So let's circle back to the Clippers. Because I know you were going to go on a rant about the Magic. It's just not warranted to our many fans and listeners. So for the fans, let's circle back to the Clippers, if you don't mind. What does this mean for the Clippers? Let's talk about their roster.
All right, so notable players on the Clippers roster. You got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, as we know. They signed Patrick Beverley. Landry Shamet, they got in the trade last year with the Sixers. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Ivaka Zubac, they re-signed him. Mo Harkless in the salary dump. And with that, you have a great starting lineup and a great bench. I think that this is the best starting lineup in the league, and Clippers are the favorites to win it all.
How are they the best? I mean, they're a good starting lineup. I'm trying not to be biased here, but I just don't see. You know, I think they're probably. I do think they're the favorite to win the title. Okay, I will agree with you there, but I don't think that the drop off is that drastic from like 1 to 2 to 3.
All right, who are the 1 to 2 to 3 that you're thinking of?
Yeah, so I think it's like Clippers and Lakers right there. And maybe I'll give Clippers a slight edge because of the age of Kawhi and Paul George, the defense,
you mentioned,
and the three-point shooting.
You mentioned the third. You know, who would be the third?
I think it's a tie between like the Sixers and the Bucks.
And Western Conference, who would be behind the Clippers and Lakers?
Oh, yeah, probably the Nuggets or Rockets or Blazers. I mean, that's
isn't
like
that
top
crazy?
Five,
you could even
so.
Throw the Jazz in there.
The Jazz, right? I mean, you know, right when free agency started, they were like, you know, they traded for Conley, and then, they signed Boban, and everyone's like, the Jazz were the favorites to win the West. And then, you know, the Warriors retool with D'Angelo Russell, I know we'll talk about in a little bit. And then, you know, the Nuggets are the Nuggets. So the West is stacked. But going back to the Clippers, I do think that they have, you know, they have a great, they have good shooting off the bench between Shamit and Lou Williams. They don't have a lot of big bodies. They've only got Zubac, who's very skinny and you know, his defense is not known to be great. But he's 7'1", so they're you know, pretty good. And then they've got Harrell, which is, he's an undersized big, but he plays like he's 7 feet tall. He's a, you know, he's good, but he's not a rim protector. He just works hard. But you can see the championship pieces. You have the defense first point guard who doesn't need the ball. You have the superstar in Kawhi. You have Scottie Pippen and Paul George. You have the big man that cleans everything up in Harrell. You've got the sixth man in Lou Williams, right? The 3-and-D guy in Harkless. Yeah, they've got a good team. I just don't think those players, when you go put him up against a team like the Lakers, you know, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, but down low they also have DeMarcus Cousins, which they signed. And I don't see Zubac and Harrell being able to really control him all that much. You know, the Lakers are built nicely as well. So the Clippers, they do have an advantage. They've got, I mean, they've got sweet Lou Williams, but other than that.
So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I would start with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You know, LeBron's going to have to guard one of them. If they're on the floor, LeBron's going to have to guard one of them. And LeBron has not been known for his defense for the last 3 or 4 years, maybe 3 years. And then who's going to guard the other? So let's say LeBron guards Kawhi Leonard.
I don't know if I agree with, I don't know if I agree with that.
You have eyes.
LeBron is a good defender.
He doesn't try on defense. He doesn't defend.
When LeBron does try, he is an above average defender. You know, last year there really wasn't a lot of opportunities for him to showcase that. But even last year, and I can pull up a number of clips, when he was trying on defense, he was playing very good defense. I disagree with that.
Highlight tape right now. That doesn't mean anything.
All I'm telling you is that
when you have, so you know how you just said when he tries. With Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Patrick Beverley, there's never anyone saying when they try to play defense, you know, they're locked in. Those three are always locked in, and including Harrell. Those four are always locked in. So if you look at just those four compared to the Lakers, I don't even think it's close. I think that the Clippers lineup is superior.
Cool. So let's talk about the, you know, the Lakers, you know, what they actually did to shore up their lineup. So we talked about the Clippers roster. Let's talk about the Lakers. What kind of moves did they make?
What kind of move did the Lakers make?
Yeah.
So signing Cousins, they got Avery Bradley after he was bought out. They got Cook for shooting, Daniels, KCP. I think that they got above average shooters. I don't think that they should have paid McGee as much as they paid him. I think they paid him like 2 years, $7 million. I think re-signing Caruso was a smart thing to do. Rondo, that was a good signing. There wasn't much left after the whole waiting for Kawhi Leonard thing.
Yeah, they missed out on a lot of players. So let's name some of the players that, if the Lakers put the full court press on someone else besides Kawhi, I think they could have got him. You know, they could have done that for Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, D'Angelo Russell. So, I mean, that's the positive side. I mean, that's the negative side to it, right? Like, you wait for Kawhi Leonard, and you miss out on, you know, some players that could have helped. And then even role players like Seth Curry, Wesley Matthews. But at the same time, I don't think they wanted to be paying, you know, J.J. Redick $13 million a year, Seth Curry almost $10 million a year. Like, I don't think they wanted to do that. Or D'Angelo Russell, max contract, which is what he got. So I see why it's, like, not that big of a deal, because they maybe dodged a bullet, because Pelinka does make some terrible signings, and he probably would have overpaid, you know, given Wesley Matthews the max or something. But I do think that, you know, that's one side to it. But the other side is they still rebounded nicely, right? With DeMarcus Cousins, sure, he has a lot to prove, but you want a player like that. You want a player that has a lot to prove, and they're working for that next contract. Troy Daniels is a really good shooter, but he has a lot to prove. Avery Bradley, you know, we know who he is. Danny Green just has got two titles, and he's a 3-and-D player. So I actually like what the Lakers have done. I think it puts them right underneath the Clippers, like you said. But I think it's really close. And obviously, the bald Mamba, Caruso, You know, I think that he could probably start for them, but it sounds like LeBron's going to play the point for the Lakers.
Yeah, I saw that come out today, and I know you were talking about it in the group chat, but when does he not play point? This is just what he does. He's the ball handler. He's the primary ball handler. It's just what he's been doing his whole career. I'm not surprised by it.
Yeah, it sounds like their starting lineup is going to be something like LeBron James, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah,
which I think it's a mistake to start Cousins, and you know, but if they do, I think they should bring Kuzma off the bench. But you know, there's a couple of ways they can go.
I don't think that Cousins should start either. At least when we last saw him in the finals, I don't think he's a starter. But hey, if he loses, you know, a solid 15, 20 pounds or whatever it is, he may be able to sustain. But Kuzma coming off the bench or starting, Kuzma is going to be that piece where if he can live up to expectations, the Lakers are going to go far.
Am I crazy to think that Cousins is actually like a really good? Okay, I'm kind of downplaying this Cousins thing, and maybe it's my bias, but I think it's a really good signing. Before he got injured, he was averaging 16 points a game, 8 rebounds. Like he looked really good.
What I told you is when he signed for that mid level. I think on the last pod I talked about it. That $5 million or whatever, 5.6 that the Warriors are paying him, he made that up with his finals performance alone. He played bully ball down low. Gasol, Ibaka couldn't stop him. He was very physical, very aggressive, and he changed lots of games. So I think that he's worth it. I think it's a good signing. Now, do I think it's a game changer where he's going to decide whether they win the finals or get into the Western Conference Finals? I don't think so. I do think that he's going to be another important piece for them, but the combination of his physical fitness and his mentality and him keeping his emotions in check, all of that's going to come into play, whether he's a factor for the Lakers or not. Yeah. Hey, going back real quick, when you were talking about some of the players that they missed out on, but you know they still retooled nicely, I do think that you know a lot of the signings that happened immediately, I don't think the Lakers would have gone for them anyway because they were just too expensive. But a couple of players that I thought they would have got if they didn't wait for Kawhi Leonard. Marcus Morris, he signed a 2-year, $20 million contract with San Antonio, and he would have been a nice pickup for them. Along with Wesley Matthews, I think he signed a minimum. I'll have to check on that. But
yeah,
him signing with the Bucks, I thought was a great pickup for them. But a lot of these players, I mean, they're overpays. You know, Trevor Ariza, 2 years, $25 million with the Kings.
Yeah.
Ricky Rubio, $51 million with the Suns. We talked about Terrence Ross.
Oh, terrible signing.
The Rodney Hood one was good. He wanted to go back to Portland, but really, there's not any other ones that I would say would have been smart signings. So, they did miss out on a few, but they were able to retool nicely.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I think for what they, you know, I think getting Avery Bradley was good. It seems like an overpay, 2 years, almost $10 million. And same with KCP, 2 years, $16 million. You know, I feel like KCP, like, does he have like blackmail and Rob Pelinka? What the hell is happening? His first year was it $18 million? His first year, $12 million last year.
$28 million.
No, I think it was 18. Maybe it's close to 20.
18 or 28. 18 is still 10 million or 8 million too high.
Can we get our producer to check this? I'll get
my stat guy. Stat guy! Get on it. He's looking it up.
Did he get it back to you yet?
He's looking it up.
We'll get to it. Yeah. So, listen. Stack guy just texted me. Here it is. So it was $17.7 million in 2017, 2018, and then $12 million last year. And this year it's $8 million. So you add that up. That's a lot of millions for KCP, for a player that's not worth it.
I don't think he's a starter on most NBA teams.
He's basically got like 3 years, like 40-plus million. This is insane.
He's getting the J.J. Redick treatment without being Redick.
But I do completely agree with the Lakers. It's maybe a good thing that they missed out on those role players, because Rob Pelinka would have definitely thrown a max contract at J.J. Redick. Like 100% he was going to sign. Or maybe like just giving it to KCP and just said, fuck million. Everyone else.
Here's
I don't understand. Why? You know, You know why Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers are better than Rob Pelinka? It's because Rob Pelinka, you know, those other guys, Jerry West and them, they wouldn't have given, you know, they wouldn't give something like $12 million to KCP and JaVale McGee for 1 year. They wouldn't do that. But Rob Pelinka does that, and it makes no sense.
Lakers are a player organization. All right, so just to switch gears a little bit, I'm going to go down a list that I have. There were a ton of signings that happened right away. We know that. 40% of the league was for free agents, so there were a ton of signings. So I'm just going to go through some signings, and you just tell me whether you want to stop and say a thing or two about it or keep going, okay?
Okay.
KD signed a 4-year, $164 million deal with the Nets.
Okay, I want to say this. We are 32 minutes into our podcast, and we just are talking about the Brooklyn Nets and KD, and I'm assuming Kyrie would be next. Yep. When this happened, it was earth-shattering, okay? Yeah. But so much has happened with Kawhi, Paul George. 32 minutes in, we're just talking about it. I think this is an amazing move by the Brooklyn Nets. You know, KD's going to be out most of the year, and maybe he'll be back in time for the playoffs. They also inked Kyrie to a 4-year max or just under the max. KD and Kyrie took just under the max so they can leave some money for their big three, quote unquote, of DeAndre Jordan, where he signed for $10 million a year for a year.
Are the Nets making the playoffs?
Yes. What? Yes. They made it with D'Angelo Russell at point guard. They just upgraded to Kyrie Irving. Why wouldn't they?
How do you think the team feels about losing Russell? What the Nets said to Russell, just kind of turn on him real quick and then go for this Kyrie KD thing. How do you think the players feel?
I think they're. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie was like recruiting Kyrie Irving, right? Like they, I'm sure they loved Russell, but Russell's not an, I don't know, an all NBA point guard. He's just not.
But we saw what Kyrie did with the Celtics last year, and I would argue that that team is more talented than the Nets.
Yeah,
I don't even think it's an argument now. I'm thinking about it. You got Jason Tatum, Jalen.
But they were ranked higher than the Nets. They did do better than the Nets.
Yeah, but look at all the shit they went through because of Kyrie.
Like, so I agree. Like he's not the best fit, but that's why you got to
these young players. Also.
Yeah, but you got to hope that KD like keeps him in check.
KD's not going to be around for the first year. He's coming out, and who knows how long after that? He's coming off an Achilles tear. Also, they signed DeAndre Jordan. You know, KD and Kyrie took a discount to make sure Jordan got his $10 million, and they already have Jared Allen. I'd rather have Jared Allen than DeAndre Jordan right now.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. They're the same players, and Jared Allen's going to do much better. He's much cheaper. I mean, I think they should have definitely focused on like a shooting big, you know, convince Brooke Lopez to come back maybe or something like that. That was probably too difficult, and you know, he got more money with Milwaukee.
All I'm saying is that there is opportunity here for this to be, you know, Kyrie's third team that doesn't like him or whatever it may be, where you have Celtics 2.0 happen all over again.
If that happens, they can trade him. They've got him locked in for 4 years, you know, 3 years, and then a player option on the fourth year. They can easily trade him and move
Kyrie
on.
Kyrie for Westbrook trade?
No.
Westbrook and KD on the Nets.
Actually, I love this. God, and you know what? It's not even that crazy because the NBA is fucking wild. Like, it's the best league in the world. I said this on the last podcast. This is the best league in the world. Look at all these trades and signings. All these superstars.
Awesome. All right.
Keep going.
Kemba Walker, 4 years, $141 million Celtics.
Another superstar that's changed teams. I love it for the Celtics. I think it's stupid for the Hornets. I always say, you know, sign the asset and then trade the asset
later.
Yeah,
but it's hard to trade the asset. He's going to be pretty old when that contract, that Supermax would have been done.
You could trade him now. They could have traded him in January.
Yeah, no, I think they should have traded him last year at the trade deadline.
They should have traded, yeah. I mean, if you weren't going to give him the max. Apparently, he wasn't even offered the regular max.
Oh, wow.
They didn't even make that offer.
Yeah, that's insulting.
Which makes no sense. He's Team Jordan. I mean, what?
What are your thoughts on him filling that Isaiah Thomas type role?
I mean, I think it's great. It's not going to be just Isaiah Thomas. Like, he is going to be the leader of that team. He finally has like young up and coming two way players in Brown and, you know, maybe Tatum's two way. He's got a good veteran in Hayward. You know, I'm not that high on him, but some people are. I think losing Horford was big for the Celtics. It's going to be tough to rebound for that, so they'll definitely take a step back
from there. I 100% agree with you. Losing Horford was big for them.
But I think if you put that money towards Kemba Walker instead of a center, like, I'm fine with that. You know, the more scoring ball handlers you have who just attack the defense, the better your team's going to be. You know, I do think it's a big loss, but they're going to be fine. And they've still got Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they've got that Memphis unprotected pick. They still got room to get better. Yeah,
they have a couple assets they could flip. Okay. So this one had a lot. It was Jimmy Butler, four-year sign and trade, $142 million with the Heat. Heat received Myers Leonard from the Trailblazers and cash from the Clippers. 76ers received Josh Richardson, and the Trailblazers received Hassan Whiteside. The Clippers received Mo Harkless, which was a salary dump for the Heat, and draft rights to Matthias Lazort from the Sixers, and a protected first-round pick from the Heat, which the Clippers used in the flip for Kawhi or for Paul George. So, let's start with the biggest things about this. Not only did the Heat get their man in Jimmy Butler, who's a very Heat type player, right? Very disciplined. You know, keeps his body in check. He's going to work really hard. But also, they were able to unload Hassan Whiteside's contract to the Trailblazers. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the Heat won here. I mean, they were able to – they basically upgraded Josh Richardson to what they hope Josh Richardson becomes, but they got Jimmy Butler, right? So you upgrade there. So not really a loss there. You get off of Whiteside's contract, which is huge. And to do that, they, you know, end up throwing a pick to the Clippers to helping all this happen. And they got Myers Leonard out of all of this. I can't believe they got Myers Leonard out of this. I know some people aren't that high on him, but this is now becoming a shooting big man. He showed his range in the playoffs. He is a very good defensive player, a very good pick and roll player. Now he's hitting threes. I mean, you know, you put him next to Bam Adebayo in the Heat and then starting with Jimmy Butler, that's a good defensive three right there. And if they were to get Westbrook, I don't know, man. I think it's great for the Heat. I love it for the Miami Heat. I can't believe they pulled this out of nothing. They had no assets. They had no desirable contracts. And they got Jimmy Butler. It makes no sense.
I agree with you. The Heat, you know, they really pulled something out of their hat. But I really like that the Sixers were able to get Richardson. You know, he's only 25. He can play the two and the three. He can defend. He can shoot. I think there's a lot of upside with his game. And I think putting him with Al Horford and Joel Embiid in different lineups is going to be great for them and great for him.
I don't understand why the Sixers didn't try to get Dragic and Richardson. Like, they could have got both. It would have worked numbers-wise.
But
because Jimmy, you know, it's a sign and trade, right? They could have got both, and then Dragic could have been their point guard, and you could have moved Simmons to more of a natural fit. But Simmons,
I mean, like right now, all he can do is bring the ball up the court. Like, he can't really do anything else.
Yeah, but you got to put him in a position to make those plays and to take those shots. Really, I mean, that's what it comes down to. But look, it's still good. I see your point on the Sixers. They got a good player in Richardson, but man, they gave up a lot more to get Butler. I mean, they gave up that. And they give us some picks. They give a Robert Covington and Dario Saric were process guys. And looking back on it, Covington's injured. Saric has not really got the opportunity. Yeah.
I feel they gave up more for Tobias Harris, if you look back on it. They got two
picks. Yes, the Tobias, but... that, you know, they had to re-sign him. Even though he got the max, they had to re-sign him because they gave up so much.
Yeah, he took a little bit less than the max. I think like 10 or 12 million. His contract was 5 years, 180, which we'll talk about. But
still an overpay. I mean, that's him making that much is crazy. I said this on the last podcast. Would you rather have Tobias Harris at $25 million or Kyle Kuzma at $2 million?
Yeah, but that's not apples to apples, man. Kyle Kuzma's still in his rookie contract.
Adele, Tobias Harris and Kuzma are that Spider-Man meme looking at each other. They're the exact same player.
I think it was during the playoffs last year when I was on the phone with you and I said, like, Kuzma can become Harris.
Yes, this is my point. Why do you forget your own takes? I'm telling you.
I remembered it. That's a good take.
Kyle Kuzma... it would have been a better fit. Anyways, there's no way for them to get him, but I think they overpaid on Tobias Harris.
I agree they overpaid on Tobias Harris, but I think they had to because of everything that they gave up. And he's an above-average shooter. And when you sign two big guys, you need above-average shooters. And they lost Redick, too.
When the Heat do trade for Westbrook, that's my prediction, the Heat will trade for him. How long before Jimmy Butler asked for a trade out of Miami?
You know, this is his fourth team? in like 3 years, something like that.
Yeah. 4 years. He's starting to get a rep.
I hope this goes well. But the Heat, they're a franchise that doesn't, you know, take any shit. You know, this isn't the Lakers. This is a very good disciplined culture and organization. A lot of respect for everyone down the line. I think that Jimmy Butler is going to love the Miami Heat organization, in part because he saw how they treated Dwayne Wade on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We kind of talked about Al Horford leaving the Celtics. He signed 4 years, $109 million. My take, real quick, I don't see how this is beneficial for the Sixers. How are you going to play Simmons, Embiid, and Horford together?
I mean, you got to zig when everyone zags. I don't know. That's what all Sixers Twitter has been saying. Zig when everyone's zagging. God, that was so dumb. I just think, I don't know, like it makes sense. You know, you can't beat Al Horford, sign him, you know, fine, but 4 years, $109 million, that's a little bit much. I do like it from the standpoint of, you know, Horford will teach that team how to win. He'll teach them how to win in the regular season, what to do in the playoffs. He's going to hit those three-pointers in the playoffs. He's going to move the ball. One thing they don't have with their big right now is moving the ball or a playmaker from their fours or fives in the past. He'll teach Embiid how to be a playmaker. I like it from that standpoint. And for 2 years, I think he'll be productive. Man, but those last 2 years, I wonder if there's a guarantee on the fourth year. If there is, wow.
Good for him.
I mean, good for him, yeah.
I see that it's insurance against Embiid's injuries, but you know, just going into the playoffs, having a four or five play together is just not viable. And I wouldn't be surprised in 2 years we're talking about the Sixers trading Horford, you know, back to the Hawks or something.
Or trading Embiid.
No, yeah, I'd be shocked to see that, but, you know, crazier things have happened.
Would you? We're living in a timeline where Chris Paul got traded to the Rockets. Paul George went to the Thunder, then the Clippers. You know, I mean, KD and Kyrie are on the Nets. This is the weirdest timeline in this universe. Yeah. I know there's multiple universes. We've talked about this. This is the craziest timeline.
There is a universe where Embiid does get traded. I do feel that. Okay.
Is that the same universe that he's healthy in? That'd be
he's
nice.
Healthy now. We'll see. We'll see how this year goes.
Okay. Come on.
D'Angelo Russell agrees to a 4-year, $117 million contract sign and trade with the Warriors.
Yeah, that was a max deal.
Yeah. Let's see, 4 years, $117 million, part of the signing trade. The Warriors had to unload Andre Iguodala to Memphis. They sent a first-round pick with it, which was big. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, they actually had to unload two first-round picks to make this happen. I look at it two ways. They lost KD, and we all still said, you know what, they'll probably be fine. They still got Klay and Draymond. And then all of a sudden, when KD chose the Nets, everyone said, you know, there's an opportunity for a sign and trade here. And it makes sense. Like, I think if you're the Warriors, it's a no-brainer to try to get Russell. You take a 23 or 24-year-old asset, fine, it's a little bit of an overpay, but he's an all-star. Right. And you say, you know what, let's just get him on our team. We'll figure this out. Now we've got Curry who could play off the ball. Russell could be point guard. Klay could be the small forward. Draymond at the four. And, you know, they figure out their five situation later. They got Kevon Looney, exactly. I think they just traded for Omari Spellman from the Hawks today, which is you know, pretty good. But anyways, let's go back to the trade. I love it for the Warriors. I mean, kudos to them. Like, they turned in losing Kevin Durant into D'Angelo Russell. It's great for D'Angelo Russell. He gets a max contract. It's great for the Nets. They were able to, you know, do it in a sign-and-trade and help them with their cap space. So all in all, like, really interesting move, but they lost Andre Iguodala, who is their finals MVP from one of those finals. He was the reason they won a couple of games in the not just the playoffs, but in the finals against the Raptors. He's the reason they won a couple of those games. And then losing two first round picks. And right now they're hard capped because they made that sign and trade. So they're at 14 players on their roster and they can't even add one more. Dude, that's how much
they can't add a veteran minimum.
I don't think they can because they're hard capped. So when you're hard, you can until you're hard capped.
Wow.
What happened is when the sign and trade, they're now so far over that they even have to stretch and waive Sean Livingston to help out. And now they're at repeater tax. It's a nightmare financially. Yeah. So you have to think they're going to look to unload Russell. But I think what's even more likely is they're going to trade Draymond Green. You keep Russell. You keep the young player. You trade the aging player who's not going to get any better. Sure, he's critical to the team, but you can retool. I think they'll look to trade Draymond next year.
I wouldn't be surprised with that, especially going into the new Chase Center, if they try to flip Draymond for a star or for some other assets, or even Draymond and D'Angelo Russell for a star. I mean, I could see that happening. So I wanted to say that, you know, Andre Iguodala, before he got traded, he went on his book tour, and he was just trashing the health staff of the Warriors. He was saying how they wanted him to play with a fracture. They kept telling him it was a bruise, but it was a fracture. The pressure he felt from his teammates and how he could relate with what KD was going through. So he must have known for at least a couple of days that this was happening.
I mean, maybe. This came out of nowhere. I don't think he knew.
Well, he didn't know.
I'm sure it made
for him to like go around and just trash the Warriors. But
I'm sure he didn't. Yeah, I don't think he knew. Whether he did or didn't, I think the Warriors, after that book tour, probably made it easier for the front office to be like, well, screw this guy, let's trade him.
Yeah, I actually think it's a big loss. And I think if the Grizzlies do buy him out, which they're saying they want to trade him, I don't know if anyone has the space. You know, you kind of spoke to that. But I think for a buyout, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nets.
Oh, he's the best buyout candidate on the market.
He'd be the best buyout candidate. I'd love for him to be on the Lakers or Clippers. I think he'd fit in right there.
Oh, he's definitely going to go to one of those teams. I mean, you know, his old agent's Rob Pelinka, so I would put the money on the Lakers. But they only have one more roster spot, and maybe they'll look at it for the player who's not better than Joe Ingles, Carmelo Anthony.
I don't know why you're going to hold that against me. That was a long
you
time
chose,
ago.
You chose wrong. You chose
I really
so wrong.
Hope that Carmelo I love Melo. Team next year. I just hope it's not the Lakers.
I love Melo, but you just chose poorly.
They still got J.R. Smith out there too. All right, moving on. Another Warrior, Klay Thompson, 5 years, 190. The news didn't come out right away. It took some time. They were debating about the no trade clause and options and whatnot. What do you think? 5 years, 190.
Perfect. He gets what he deserves. Yes. 5 year max. Yes.
Okay. Chris Middleton, 5 years, 178.
It's definitely an overpay, but that's what the market is. He was going to get max money from another team. I mean, the Knicks would have thrown it at him, the Lakers.
It's an overpay.
The Clippers.
But they also want to keep Giannis happy because he's coming in 2021. Yeah. And they just signed his brother yesterday.
Yep, his older brother. That's right. Giannis' older brother. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah. I don't know if I said that right. I said it with so much confidence, though.
That's all that counts. Tobias Harris, we talked about him, 5 years, 180. We already mentioned him. But, okay, your favorite team, the Magic. They signed Nikola Vucevic to 4 years, $100 million. Terrence Ross to 4 years, $54 million. And Al-Farouq Aminu, 3 years, $29 million. No, what do you think about these signings?
$183 million to three players. Like you can't fucking make this up. 4 years, $54 million for Terrence Ross. You know,
yeah, I don't know what the Magic are doing.
Al-Farouq Aminu, 3 years. So he's a veteran minimum player. 3 years, $30 million. What are you doing, Orlando? They're in the luxury tax now. This makes no sense.
We were talking to on group chat with Ahil, famous Magic fan, and we were like, "Bro, what are the Magic doing?" I don't even think he knew.
He loves it. He loves it. He loves all these moves. I actually don't mind the Vucevic signing because, like I said, keep the asset. I think they can trade him to a team like, you know, it's a team who wants a big man, like the Celtics need a big man, you know, so I think they could, you know, probably make a move, or maybe a team like the Hornets convinces themselves they need an all-star to put people in the seats. But I don't know, man. This is an 8-seed team, 8-9 seed. So
maybe we'll you have the Hornets trade for Westbrook and Vucevic, and then you have a 1-5 combo. The combo we discussed earlier.
Exactly.
All right. So yeah, I don't know what the Magic are doing. They need a point guard, and you know, when Kyle Lowry becomes a free agent, and the market is saying that he's going to be a mid-level player, when the Magic give him $50 million for 4 years. Or you know, $50 million a year for 4 years, then we can talk about.
God, that's exactly what he's going to get. That's exactly the offer he's going to get.
$50 million a year for 4 years. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. One of your favorite players, a unicorn, if you will, Kristaps Porzingis.
I love Porzingis. I don't mind this.
5 years, 158. You don't mind this?
Great. I don't mind this at all.
This is terrible. The guy hasn't played basketball in a year and a half.
But you've given away all those lottery picks. You have to try. I mean, you can't just lose them for nothing.
Why not just extend the qualifying offer? No one else, was anybody even going to offer him this?
I mean, he probably would have tested the market next year. What if he had an all-star year?
Yeah, but you're going to lose him for sure.
Yeah, you keep the Burr rights, but he's going to choose not to sign with you then because you only gave him
but a 7'3" unicorn who gets injured, susceptible to injuries, and you're able to offer him an extra year and 30 something million more. I think he stays.
I think we've seen that the extra year and 30 million more doesn't matter. Kawhi Leonard could have signed for 30 million more if he stayed in San Antonio. Then he went to the Raptors. He lost that 30 million. Then it was an additional 50 million if he stayed with the Raptors, and then he went to the Clippers. Right. So all in all, what did he lose? Like,
yeah,
he gave
him 50 million. Yeah.
I don't think players care about that anymore.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. We all have to see how this goes. Jamal Murray, 5 years, $170 million extension with the Nuggets. Thoughts?
I mean, I'm not surprised. He did look really good. And if you know your player better than anyone else. You know, 5 year max, he's a young player. You might as well do it now. See what happens. Don't lose him in a couple of years when he demands a trade.
If Jamal Murray was a free agent right now, would he get this contract?
I think he'd get what D'Angelo Russell got. They put up similar numbers. They're both around the same age. I think there's a strong chance he would have got close to the max, if not the max. Because he'd be a free agent after next summer, and that's another year of him getting better. I think he'd be pretty good max.
If the Nuggets didn't do it, the Kings would have done it. Speaking of the Kings, they signed Harrison Barnes to 4 years, $85 million. Was there a market for Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, who was going to pay him that much? I mean, 20 plus a year for Harrison Barnes? When he opted out of, what was it, $17 million?
I think it was like 20-something million.
$20 million, we all were like, no, this guy's crazy. He's not going to get $20 million on the market. And then the Kings just said, you know what? I want to overpay for like a fourth option.
Yeah. Malcolm Brogdon, 4 years, $85 million with the Pacers. Now,
it's an overpay
trade, I believe, right? They got two picks out of it.
Yeah, they ended up doing a sign and trade. They did right by Malcolm Brogdon. They weren't going to pay him that much, and they helped him get to Indiana. I like it because he's a 50-40-90 guy, but it's an overpay. But, I mean, you put him next to Oladipo, you have the best defensive guards on the same team in the NBA. Losing Boban hurts, but, you know, you make it up with this signing and – I like how they rebound.
And it was actually three picks. I just read it. One first round pick and two future second round picks. So pretty good for the Bucks to get those assets back.
Yeah.
You mentioned Bogdanović signed 4 years, 73.
Yeah, I said Boban, not Bojan. Sorry. Yeah. Bojan.
4 years, $73 million with the Jazz.
Apparently all the Utah Jazz reached out to him to recruit him. Really? This was like their prize signing. I mean, they wanted I heard that today. They wanted Mirotić. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to go play in Europe for the rest of my life.
That
so
was crazy.
He left, which is weird because he turned down 10 to 15 million. At least 15 million. I mean, and that was the Jazz's number one target. They shifted focus quickly to Bogdanović. I like the contract. He's a scorer. I mean, he's a good player. He's in his prime. I like this for the Jazz. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's great for the Jazz. I think the Jazz are moving into contention. It's going to be important for Conley to stay healthy. But I think that with this core that they have going forward for the next 2 years is going to be a good look for the Jazz. Last one, Julius Randle, 3 years, $63 million. The Knicks missed on everybody. We haven't even talked about them. They were the team that was going to get Zion. They were going to get Kyrie, going to get KD. They've struck out on everybody. Apparently, they canceled the meeting on Kawhi. They didn't want to give the max to KD because of his Achilles. They took a big L for the last 2 months. They signed Julius Randle and a bunch of other players. Julius Randle, 3 years, $63 million. What are your thoughts on that?
They've taken a big L for the last 40 years. You know, the Knicks owner, James Dolan, he doesn't deserve these fans. These fans are great fans. The Knicks fans have no reason to be loyal to the Knicks. They have nothing. The Knicks have done nothing to for their fans. They always make mistakes. Look, I like this signing a lot. I love Julius Randle. I think he's a great player. But is he going to be an all-star? No. Are they going to make the playoffs? No. I think they just needed to put someone in there. The third year is a team option, which is nice. So, you know, and that's when Giannis is a free agent. So this is kind of messed up. They're going to say, you know what, in 2 years, we're going to get Giannis, and then we're going to go through this dance again. They didn't get LeBron when it mattered, or Carmelo, or Dwayne, or I mean, sorry, LeBron, or Dwayne Wade, or Chris Bosh. They didn't get KD, Kawhi, Kyrie, and they're going to now sell their fans on Giannis, and they're not going to get him either. I think the Knicks are just a garbage team led by a owner who doesn't really care about what the, about the fans, or else, you know, they would have signed some good players. I do like the Randle signing, but other than that, I don't know what's happening there.
Just to play devil's advocate here, right? I mean, the Nets made a great offer. You know, they were able to – the Nets have a better core than the Knicks did for KD and Kyrie. You know, they're surrounded with solid pieces to make a run when KD gets back. The Knicks couldn't offer that, right? Now, I do think that them not offering KD and Max was not smart. Also, canceling the meeting with Kawhi because they wanted to focus on other free agents. I don't think that was wise either.
I mean, I get that. He wasn't going to go there.
But, I mean, you can't just blame the owner for everything. Like, it has to be shared blame, like, throughout the organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a culture problem. Yeah, they just banned the New York Daily News from a past press conference because they don't like, you know, James Dolan didn't like how they're talking about him in the newspapers. I mean, it's just garbage. So, I don't know. I get what you're saying. Look, the Knicks fans, I hope they do well. They've got some good young players. Mitchell Robinson's a good center. Kevin Knox could really pop. They still got Dennis Smith Jr. And now I love their number 3 pick, R.J. Barrett.
Oh, man.
Someone told me that he's the next Kobe. I laughed. But I do think he's going to be a good player. Shout out to Hussein Noorani, who said that R.J. Barrett's the next Black Mamba.
That's right.
He, you know what? In about 3 years, he could prove us all wrong. We never know. And we'll just pull up this take.
You know,
I'll just tell everyone it was you. No one can tell the difference when we're on this pod. Everyone comes up to me and they say, I don't know who's talking.
Well, this is Adele here saying, I think that R.J. Barrett has a better chance of getting Rookie of the Year than Zion Williamson.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, my God. The Pelicans playoff team this year. This is unknown. I think the Pelicans will be a playoff team this year. And I think Zion does get the Rookie of the Year.
Pelicans are not making the playoffs.
Well, we'll come back to
it. All right. So with that being said, Anand, thank you so much for your time today. As always, we appreciate everyone for your support. Please do continue to give us your feedback. Like us on Facebook at Twins Hoop, on Instagram at Twins Hoop _official, and at Twitter at Twins Hoop. Also, please like and subscribe on all your favorite platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, etc. And until next time, have a great one.
Thanks, everyone.